him with us at the SBC of Virginia. He's been a tremendous leader and encourager of missions and church planting and church strengthening and now church revitalization around Virginia. And so he works so well with my boss, Dr. Brian Autry. And so just on behalf of Brian and myself and all the different churches around Virginia, we just want to say thank you so much for your missions giving and your missions going and your encouragement. I love the friendship that Pastor Doug and Pastor Brian have. And I joke with Doug that he takes a lot of phone calls from Brian that I don't have to take. And so I like that. So that's great. No, I'm just teasing. It's just a privilege to be here. And I just wanted to share with you this message that God's kind of placed on my heart over the past year, but especially over the past couple months. A message from Isaiah 43. I came in today and some of the people here were already reading and kind of catching up on Isaiah 43 and what this is about. And really the message is titled Something New. Something New. It's not exactly the beginning of the new year, I know, but it's definitely near the beginning of the new year. So here we are in 2019. Maybe some of you just now have started now. Instead of putting on your checks 2018, you're now putting 2019. It's taken about 7 weeks to do so, and now you're doing 2019. This is 2019, something new, but really I'm not talking about something new as far as a year or a week or anything. I'm talking about something new in our hearts, in our lives, and what God has for us. So let's turn to Isaiah 43. I'll give you just a second to find that in your Bibles. Isaiah 43. All right. And so Dawson told me I only had about an hour and a half to preach, so I'll do my best to keep it into that. Thank you, Dawson, for that. It's very generous of you. No, I'll make sure I watch the time as well. Let's all stand up as we read God's Word. I like to do this out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. Isaiah 43. I'm going to start in verse 16. The whole chapter, by the way, is a tremendous chapter. But let me start with verse 16. This is what the Lord says. I tell you what, it's nice to know when you start the whole passage, this is what God says. No question. This is what the Lord says. Who makes a way in the sea and a path through raging water, who brings out the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty one together. They lie down, they do not rise again, they are extinguished, put out like a wick. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that it's truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you so much that we believe and we know this is the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant word of God. Thank you so much for how you're working in our lives even right now. Lord, speak your word into people's hearts and lives. Get me out of the way. Lord, get all of what I want to say out of the way, and only you speak today, that you may be honored and glorified. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I was thinking about this. It's interesting. I was thinking about a couple stories from the recent past, actually starts in April 20th, 2010. Some of you may remember this. It was a normal day. The crew, men and women of the oil drilling rig Deepwater Horizon, were working off the coast of Louisiana in a place called the Mankato Prospect. Just before 10 p.m. that night, during the final phases of drilling, and again, it was just a normal day, they were wrapping up this big project. Some of you may remember what happened. An uncontrollable blowout caused a huge explosion that ended up killing 11 people and ignited a fire that they could not extinguish. And they were all, just trying to extinguish this fire and get it out. At the same time, they're trying to stop the leak at the very bottom of the ocean floor of all this oil gushing up. They're trying to do both things, and they just can't do it. and it just gets out of control. 2 days later, the rig sank, leaving the well gushing at the bottom of the ocean until July 15th, 3 months of the oil gushing out. It actually became the largest oil spill in U.S. waters ever in history. Just tremendous, tremendous. And you might think, what? That's horrible. And people, if you can go back to that picture before, guys, just hold on there. Because what was happening there is people, you may remember, people were saying, this is the worst thing ever. This thing is going to take years and years and decades and decades and may never get cleaned up. Do you remember that? Remember the commercials from Dawn, dishwashing? They were out there washing the ducks off and saying, if we can wash ducks off, you can wash this in your house. You can, you know, that kind of thing. Everybody was jumping on board and talking about this oil spill and how horrible it was, and the ecosystem would never be cleaned up. You know, we have times in our lives like this, don't we, where it's bad. And it truly is bad. And we may think, this may never get fixed. This may never get cleaned up. I may never be clean again. I know. I feel like that sometimes, like, God, what are you doing in my life? How, this is horrible. This is really bad. I don't know if this will ever get cleaned up. Well, in real time, here in the next year, actually less than a year later, the beginning of 2011, a big snow melt and heavy rains and massive storms caused the Mississippi River to flood. Huge floods that had not been seen since the early 1900s. Thousands of square miles were submerged because of water that surged over the banks of the Mississippi. You can see it right there, breaking levees and spillways and all these things that man had created to keep the river at bay. Now the river is going, I'm just crossing over everything. Thousands of people had to be evacuated. And it was another disaster. But this disaster was different. Yes, people had to be evacuated. And yes, it was very inconvenient for thousands of people. But what all that water did in a very short amount of time was clean up most of the oil and the sludge of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill just the year before. Something that would have taken decades probably to clean up, God allowed the river to spill and clean up in a matter of just weeks and months a lot of that. And not just the oil was cleaned up, but all of this vegetation started coming back, and the ecosystem in that Mississippi and Louisiana deltas that had been drying up and shrinking for years because of the levees were now coming back. And even the seafood industry started coming back, because what happens when water gets back into the delta? The seafood come back. And now we had extra work that workers could do because of seafood. So something that was a disaster in the flooding actually cleaned up something else that needed to be cleaned up. It's interesting. God uses things in our lives that we don't like sometimes to actually clean up and bring back to life things that were dead. Keith, thank you so much for what you read before, because, you know, God is faithful and He will take you and send you where He wants you to go. And the way He gets you there isn't always the way you want or expect. There's no way that the people of Mississippi would have wanted an epic flood. Come on, flood, I want to have my home flooded. Yeah! No, they don't want that. But they could not have known at the time that the very thing that was causing them heartache was actually going to clean up something that they couldn't do on their own. Go back to Isaiah 43. You see, the prophet Isaiah wrote this passage, we believe, sometime in the late 6th century B.C. And by the way, if you're a Bible scholar, Isaiah is kind of broken up into three parts. Isaiah is broken up into chapters 1 through 39, which they call the pre-exile period. Then 40 through 55, which is the exile period, which is during the Babylonian and Persian exile. And then after that, 56 through 66, which is after that. And so there's some discussion of who exactly wrote all of Isaiah. Was it the prophet Isaiah, or was it different people? And so if I say the prophet Isaiah, you know I'm talking about the book of Isaiah, okay? I just wanted to kind of say that. And this was written when Judah was suffering under the Babylonians. And some had been taken to the land of Babylon, like Daniel, and many were left there in the area of Judah and Jerusalem, suffering. It was horrible time. It was a terrible time. Imagine how they felt. You see, they had remembered the promises of God, that God said that he would dwell in Jerusalem forever, that this was their promised land, and here they were taken away. And they were taken away, and it was a horrible time for them, and they were under totalitarian rule of Babylon and Persia. And this chapter is a continuation of the subjects that was discussed really in chapters 41, 42, the deliverance from Babylon. God saying, yes, you're in a bad situation, but I'm teaching you something right now, and I'm actually showing my power around the world, because I'm actually going to deliver you and give you your land back. And so here he's rebuking them for what they had done. He's saying, you were blind, you were deaf, you had messed up, you had left me and my laws, and you had forsaken me, and actually you have unconfessed sin in your life, but I am going to, because of my power and my name, I'm going to redeem you back to myself. I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you out of all this. My purpose is to deliver you. And God then says in Isaiah 43, 18, he says, all those things that I had done, you need to forget, because what I'm going to do is going to be even greater. It's going to surpass what I'd done in the past, and it's going to blow your mind, is what we would say now. You see, let me read a couple different versions of this little 18 and 19 verses here. It says, what I read in NLT, what I read was in the Holman Christian. Let me read the NLT. It says, but forget all that, verse 18. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. You see, I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun it. Don't you see it? When he asks you a question, you got to pay attention. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Holman Christian says, don't remember the past events. Pay no attention to things of old. I'm about to do something new. Even now it's coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And let me read the Message, which is a little different. The Message says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road in the desert, rivers in the badlands. I love these verses. And let me tell you why. Let's kind of break this chapter down a little bit and talk about this, because this could be something that you could claim now as your own. I don't know what you've been going through over the past year or multiple years. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm coming in. I don't know what's going on in this church life. But I do know what God's promising, and I do know what he's saying. And he's saying, I'm about to do something new in your life. So let's look at this. First off, I want to say what God has done. What God has done. And if you go to verse 1 of chapter 43, it says, this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Just right there. Let's look at what God has done. First off, he's formed you. He's created you. He has made you for himself. He's made you to praise him and to give glory and honor to him. That's our job. That's our role. He's formed you. What else has he done? He has redeemed you. He's redeemed you because of his son, Jesus, and his sacrifice on the cross. He has redeemed you. He has bought you back from Satan, really is what it is, from sin. He has redeemed you if you have accepted him as your personal Savior. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And it talks in verse 2, it talks about when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. Now, I want to tell you, we have a couple different things here. We have water, we have river, we have fire. I think of the Red Sea. See, Israelites would remember this. The Red Sea, They would remember the Jordan River. They would remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fire. This is all at this time. They would know this. And maybe you've got some raging waters. Maybe you've got flood waters in your life right now. Maybe you have a fire that's in your life right now and in your family's life. It could be medical. It could be marital. It could be employment. It could be financial. It could be children. My wife Wendy, I'm so glad she's here. We have 4 kids. And Lily's here too. Lily is our youngest. She's 6. And they go up from there. So we have 6. And then it jumps to Rachel, who's 15. Then Lauren, who's 19. And then Andrew, who's 21. Yeah, 21, 19, 15, 6. And we love it. And we love it. It wasn't our plan. We didn't have this great plan. Hey, let's take an 8-year break. Yeah, that sounds great. That was God's plan. But when you have 4 children, or any amount of children, and you've been married longer than a minute, you realize that there could be disagreements or struggles or things like that. And you could be going through that right now. And God's saying, hey, I've redeemed you. When you go through those things, don't forget verse 3, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Claim that promise. You're going through hard times. You're going through all of these things. But I have formed you. I have redeemed you. Verse 4, I love you. We just celebrated Valentine's Day. That's the greatest Valentine's message of all. God says to you and me, I love you. I love you. So he's formed you, he's redeemed you, he's loved you, and what else? He's named you. Verse 7, everyone who bears my name and is created for my glory, I've formed them, I've made them. He's named you. Who are you? You're God's. Your identity is wrapped up in him. If you have accepted him as your personal Savior, you are God's. He's formed you. He has redeemed you. He's loved you. He's named you. So that's what God has done for you. But now what does God want you to do? That's what God has done. What does God want you to do? Well, verse 18. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Now, I do want to say, I don't believe he's saying that we can forget everything that's happened to us. Let me tell you, even last week, when I was preaching this message in Richmond at Grove Avenue Baptist Church, after the service, a lady came up and she goes, I was just beaten by my brother, and it's been a long time thing. And she did. You could see she was beaten. She goes, how can I forget that? And I don't think God's calling us to always forget things of the past. How do I know that? Go over to chapter 42. Verse 9. The past events have indeed happened. I think God's saying, hey, those past events, they've indeed happened. They happened, but now I declare new events. I announce them to you before they occur. You see, God's calling us to open up our lives for what he's going to do now. So let's try something. I want you to hold out your hands. I want you to squeeze them real tight. Many times in life, hold them out, squeeze them. Yeah. You know, many times in life we do this. We hold on to something. We have all kinds of things in our past that we hold on to. They could be fears. They could be failures. They could be hurts. They could be hang-ups. They could be victories. And yes, even unconfessed sin. And we don't deal with it, and we hold on to it. Fear could be doing that. I don't know why. And God's saying, I have something new I want to put in your hand. And if I want to give you something and your hand's like that, can you receive it? No, you can't, because you're still holding on to what we had back there. And God, now release it. God wants you to open up your hand, and you only can do that when you release what's in there. And God says, I've got something new. Let me tell you, in church life, sometimes it's hard because we have some great moments. And I'm looking at Keith because I was a music minister once, and we had some great times. I know you have had some great moments of concerts and cantatas and drama presentations, and God's moved. And sometimes it's hard to, like, you want to kind of live in that for a while. It's like, man, praise the Lord, that was awesome. Do you remember that service we had? And what happens is churches sometimes, they stay there in the glory days and the glory years, and they go, wow, that was awesome. Let's live here for a while. And God's going, wait, I've got something new. And you're going, no, that was so good. I loved it. Do you remember the face? Do you remember that guy? Do you remember his face? Do you remember what they did? All this stuff, you're talking about this and you're loving it. And then afterwards, you remember the meal? You remember that meal that we had on the grounds? And that was awesome. And we're remembering those things. And God's going, no, I've got something new for you this year. I've got new people that need prayer. I've got new people that need to come. I've got discipleship. I've got mission. I've got all these things for you. Wow. Open up your hand and receive what God has for you. And sometimes we see churches that go on decline after they've been going great guns, and they go in decline because they're living off of the past victories. And sometimes in our life, we do the same thing. And sometimes it's because such and such hurt me, and I can't get past it. Or this happened in my life, and God, this oil spill happened, and it was horrible. And God's going, look, I'm going to bring you rivers. Here, look at this. I love this. Let's go back to verse 19 and 20 of chapter 43. I'm about to do something new. Even now it's coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Wild animals, jackals, and ostriches will honor me because I provide water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people I form for myself and will declare my praise. You see, we've got to get past the things of the past, the hurts, the hang-ups, the fears, the failures of commission and omission. We've got to get past those things, and we've got to also confess unconfessed sin. That could be keeping us from growing in what God has for us. I know God's been teaching me that. I may have asked forgiveness from God, but have I asked forgiveness from those that I've hurt here on earth? We have to do both, because we can't get past that. We just say, oh Lord, forgive me, and then move on, and there's somebody that we've hurt in our lives. Or sometimes it could be that we've confessed those sins, yes, but we haven't dealt with it. We haven't figured out what did this. We have to deal with things and figure out what they mean in our lives and what God's teaching us and how we grow. And it takes time sometimes, but when we do, then God can do something brand new. And that's point number three. You see, God, what God will do, He will do a new thing in your life. He will build a road in the wilderness, a wild place. You could have something like a wilderness, to me, reminds me like a wild place. I've been out in the West, and there are some wild, wild places. There's some people have been to, maybe the Badlands. Anybody been to the Badlands? Yeah, that's pretty desolate but interesting place. Cool place, beautiful place, but it's wilderness. God's going to build a road through your wilderness and rivers in your desert, a dry place. You may have had a dry season in your life spiritually, maybe maritally, maybe family, who knows what. You've got a dry place, and God says, hey, look, open up your hands. Know that I'm about ready to do something new, and I'm going to build a river in your dry place. It says beasts will honor him. Man, when I looked at that, I thought, how long has that been a wild place in your life? You've got jackals and ostriches in your life. It's been a long time. God's going, yeah, it's been a long time. It may have been years. It may have been decades. That's all right, because even those beasts, those wild animals, are going to praise God because they're going to see what He's doing in your life. And then I love this last little part where He says, I'm going to provide water, drink to my chosen people. And I just kind of wrote this. God cares about the everyday needs of His people. Drinking water. How more mundane can you get? How everyday can you get than drinking water? God cares. He's going to give drinking water to His people. He wants you to be refreshed every day. It's a new day. So, The question as we wrap it up, now what? Now what? Now what? Very easy and very hard at the same time. Forget the things of the past. Why? Because you can't have space open for what will happen when you're filled up with what has happened. Let me say that again. You can't have space open for what will happen when you're filled up with what has happened. And I don't know about you, but God's really teaching this to me. Like so, I feel like every day, Wendy and I were joking, I feel like God has been taking a jackhammer to me. You know, some people, he takes a chisel and he's ding, 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 ding. And to me, it's, I feel like God's just saying, Brandon, wake up. Deal with things in the past. Deal with those things. Get them right. Put them under the blood. Bring them to me. Lay them at the altar because I have something brand new. And I believe that could be his message for you today. It could be his message for Bethel Baptist Church today. What does God have in 2019 and 2020 and beyond for Bethel Baptist Church? I can't wait to see what he has. So forget the things of the past. What else does God want us to do? To praise him. To praise him. I love verse 21. Excuse me. Let me go back. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Isaiah 42. Because when it said in verse 9, the past events have indeed happened, I declare new events. Then what does it say in verse 10? What does it say? Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. We have to praise him. We have to praise him. Pray, yes, of course, but praise him. Praise him. That's why we were created. And he says to sing a new song. Really praise the Lord through what you're going through and pray. Be expectant and anticipate what he will do. So forget the things of the past. Praise him and then pray. Pray. You see, let me tell you something interesting. As we've been, Wendy and I were talking about this, and it reminded us of something. It reminded me of something. About a year ago, I believe, a little bit more than a year, I'm not sure when, I go to different mission opportunities to follow SBC of Virginia mission teams. And so I've been to a lot of different places, everywhere from Nepal to Haiti to Africa, Alaska. And about a year or so ago, it was my second time to Guam. We have teams that go to Guam and help. And Guam's a long way away, by the way. I don't know if anybody ever been to Guam. I think I know a few people have, especially in the military. If you've been in the Navy, you've probably been there. That's a long way away. You get to Hawaii and you're only about halfway there. You just got to keep on going. And so I was over there, and I know Wendy loves to drink coffee in the morning. She likes a coffee mug, and I found a mug of that had something on it that everyone says there. They say when you, I'm going to come down and get this little mug. I have it there for you to see, but I also brought it this morning because it says half a day. Which is really not a whole lot of English translation to this, except it's like, what's up? What's the word? How you doing? You know, kind of like, hey, kind of like aloha has a lot of meanings. Well, half a day has the same thing. And I saw this, and I thought, that's kind of cool. And it's kind of, I know it's a black mug, and that's not really her favorite. And I'm not sure orange is her favorite either, but I liked it. And like, I don't know why guys do this sometimes. You get something, and you think, oh, maybe she'll like it. I like it, and I got it, and Wendy goes, oh, thanks, that's nice. Guys, you ever feel like that? Oh, thanks, hon, that's nice. Put this over here, put some other things. No, she didn't do that. She was very kind. But what was interesting was when I saw a reaction, I was like, oh, I messed up this time. I didn't get what I said, oh, man. But then I started seeing her use it, and she was using it, like, a lot. And I thought, I said, one day I got up the courage and I said, so do you like the mug? And she was like, well, not really my colors, not really the design, but she liked what it said. And because we talked about it, it really means, you know, hello, good day or something like that. But she didn't actually pronounce it half a day. She pronounced it have a day, have a day. And it was kind of cool because she would get that mug out every morning, she said, and it would remind her every day that God's given us a new brand new day. And our lives are like this cup, clean and empty today. So here God's saying, have a day, and if you are clean, confess sin. And if you're empty, you're not holding on to things. It's not filled up with old coffee and old whatever it is. It's clean. It's empty. It's brand new. He can fill it with what He wants to do. Not what we want. Not, Lord, I'm not going to fill this. You fill it. This is your, I'm giving this to you. A clean, empty vessel for your use. Have a day. Have a day, every day. So now I understand why. It's not because I was the best gift giver of the world, that's for sure. It's because she saw meaning to this that she could use every day to remind her and remind me and us, have a day. It's a new day. Lord, am I clean today? Have I confessed sin? Am I right with you and with others? Lord, am I empty? Have I emptied myself out? Am I holding on to old things that are keeping me from what you have for me today? And have I given this to you to you use? You put in whatever you want today. And what you put in today, you didn't do yesterday. And what you do today, you may not do tomorrow. I give it to you. We need to look past the past, experience God's present and His future in our lives. Now, you may say, Brandon, that sounds great. I love it. But you keep talking about a new life. You keep talking about being redeemed. I don't understand what you mean. Well, there's also something new that I want to share with you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That might be where you need to go. You're still living in the old life, a life that God never intended for you to live. You've never confessed your sin before Him for the first time and accepted that free gift of salvation and said, Lord, come into my heart, save me, cleanse me, and make me new. That might be your testimony today that you need to do that today. But if you have done that, then He wants to make something new of your life. You see, Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, forgetting what is behind and reaching for what is ahead, I pursue the goal for the prize of the promised call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. He is saying, forgetting what's behind, I press forward toward the mark to something new, what God has for us. So here's what I'd love to do right now as we wrap up. I would love for you just to be thinking in your life, what is something, Lord, that I am holding on to that I need to let go of? What is something that maybe I haven't confessed before you? What is it something, Lord, that you have for me? And then take care of business today and then give that clean, empty cup to God every day. Lord, I'm making something new, he says. Even right now, don't you see it? He can't wait for you to see what's new. So as the praise team comes up, and we're going to start the invitation right now, I would love for us to all stand up. Let's all stand up. And as we start this invitation, what I'd love to do is, just if this is something that's on your heart today, God says, hey, this is something you need to deal with. Come forward. The altar will be open. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to stand down here. And if you want to come up, talk to me, that's fine. The pastors will be here. If you want to talk to any of the pastors, they'll be here. It could be something that you, I'll give you an example. A man told me recently, he said, you know, I had a great Bible study group that I had for years and then it ended. And I haven't been able to find a new one, I think, because I'm still holding on to the great times that we had before. Somebody came up to me and said, you know, Brandon, I haven't gotten over a death of my family, and I've been asking God why, and I just have never given it to Him. It could be my job ended. It could be I'm having trouble in my marriage. I'm praying for my kids. A lady came up to me and said, my son is addicted to drugs, and I'm holding on to it, and I haven't given it to God. I can't do anything about it, but God can. Any of those things, and especially if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never experienced that new life in Christ that only He can give, this is your day. Let's close our eyes, let's pray, and then we'll have our invitation. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your promise of something new in our lives. Lord, thank You for what You've done, of course. Thank You for where we are today because of what You've done in the past. But Lord, thank You so much. You're not a God of the past. You're a God of the present and the future. Lord, You're all three. You're all three. You're past, present, and future. And I can't wait to see what You're going to do here at Bethel and in individual lives and families today. We give this time to You so that You are honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Come forward and lay those burdens at Jesus' feet right now.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. And oh,